Hello everyone and welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast number 336. Please don't leave us, September. On the way, Wigan. Do you like that, Pete?
No.
Wickham. No, that's not a pun, that's just the name of the place. And Touche, the Rowett past and present. Cryptic. My name is Michael Bailey. Hello there. Joining us here this Monday afternoon at Archant Towers, we have... Oh, yeah, Dave gave you a title, didn't he, Pete? What was it? Data and Innovations Manager.
I think that was my latest one, yeah.
Has it changed since? It was only 2 weeks ago.
It's still the same one.
Pinken app creator, or Peter Raven.
Pinken King, surely.
Pinken King.
Yeah, this is getting rough. And Deputy Head of Sport here in North, that's much more straightforward, Mark Armstrong. Mark, how are you? You well?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, not too bad.
Good man. Pete, are you grand?
I'm all right too,
yeah,
Michael.
Yeah, I thought I'd better ask you at the end. Good. Anything new in our worlds? You can throw us something that's not football related. Pete? I love putting you on the spot. Your face, we should start filming this.
I trimmed my hedge yesterday.
Oh,
it's not a euphemism.
Pinken trims his hedge.
Yeah, gardening Sundays. That's what it's all about.
Is it?
Living the dream.
I can't remember the last time I didn't have to work on a Sunday, but there we go. No, that's good. And what shape did you trim your hedge?
Just a normal one. It's not a head shape. It's not a dog shape or anything like that. It's just, yeah, it's square.
You do love your dog though, so it will happen one day, won't it? Or Wesley hedge?
No, that'll just look bizarre.
Wesley Hoolahound. You should follow it on Twitter. It's a good Twitter account. Do you do that?
No. Social media assistant does that for him.
What? Who? What? He's got... Your dog has its own social media assistant.
Of course he does.
Is that you?
Yeah. How are we talking there?
Yeah, we're all right. That sounds like a tax fudge, by the way. Mark... How's things?
Yeah, all right. Not too bad. Still now and again when the calves aren't hurting. What I have been doing is Chris Henderson signed for Kings Lynn.
Yeah, big Norwich fan, isn't he?
Norwich fan, Chris. Yeah, great player, very good player at that level as well. So that's a really good signing for Lynn.
There you go. Look at that. All over the football. And worth saying, Mark puts together our brilliant Run Anglia Facebook group and supplements and all sorts. So check that out. I guess on Facebook primarily. Yeah.
Yeah, mainly.
And if you like running, which I do, but I haven't done much of that recently. Anyway, just before we get stuck into football talk, remember, you can get in touch with us all here to share your thoughts, set the agenda, because like I'm clearly mucking it up. Just send us an email to thepinken@archant.co.uk, or you can get in touch via all the possible social media channels you can imagine. I guess you could probably get a hold of Wesley Hoolahound on Twitter as well. And of course, there's Pinken and our personal profiles too. And make sure you don't miss a single podcast this season by subscribing. All the details, pinken.com/podcast. Right, we will start with that was the week that was. I appreciate apologies now. I don't think there was a podcast last week. It's been a bit short-handed on the sports desk in the last week or two, but you know, this is a much more productive season than they normally are with the podcast. I'm sure you'll forgive us. Since the last pod, victories at QPR and Wickham. But let's start with Wigan, which of course took place on Saturday. Norwich's fifth win in all competitions, Pete. This did happen sort of ish last year as well. So how excited are you? How different is this, Pete?
Yeah, we'll wait until we see a couple of months down the line. But fifth in the table, I know we can drop down.
Fifth in the table, Pete. Fifth in the table.
Can we drop to about 14th after the next game?
Yes.
But it's it's not pretty to watch, but a win's a win.
But it is a bit different to last year. In that last year, let's be honest, they were pretty lucky to win some of those games last year. They rode their luck. Whereas it feels a bit more controlled this time, doesn't it? I mean, they are controlling games a bit more, and you know, I would hope that we are seeing signs of progression there, really, and that they don't fall off like they did in the same way last season.
I mean, that is clearly the huge thing from here. I kind of do take umbrage with it not being pretty to watch. Like, I understand Saturday's game wasn't, you know, a classic, but I do think the way that Norwich are doing things is easy on the eye. It's patient, I get that, but it's easy on the eye.
It's, well, not so much us, more the opposition, really.
Yes.
I know Wigan pressed high, but there was no end product. Tim Krul didn't have anything to do, which some would say is a good thing. But no, all in all, it's if you're going to take 1-0 wins, then why wouldn't you? I mean, the caveat to that is, yes, it's been a great September, but it's now we're going to play some teams that are at the top end. compared to Middlesbrough at Park. I think everyone else has been fairly low down, haven't they? So,
well, while you say that, Wigan were fifth. I think they were fifth. They're certainly in the top six ahead of Saturday, which was kind of a big disappointment because this was a side that had just been promoted. There was, you know, I was really looking forward to seeing them play because I was like, wanted to see how they were going about it. I kind of recognised a few names on the team sheet and like, okay, this is quite a strong side. And actually, they set up really well in the first half, and they sort of had a really high defensive line, condensed the pitch, but also just sat really high on Norwich as well and gave them no room to play. And that did cause Norwich, certainly in for the majority of the first half, some real issues. It was just weird how the second half went on, and it was like, yeah, we don't really want to lose this game, and they just got more and more just went more and more into their shell, I guess, which probably was partly Norwich's responsibility as well for improving and growing in the game and having a couple of extra gears.
It must be quite difficult to maintain that intensity as well over the 90 minutes, which is where Norwich being able to control the game, control possession, that really does come to the fore. Like, what teams will naturally tire in the last 20 minutes when they are having to maintain that high press, and that's where Norwich are conserving energy in theory by having more control of the ball, and you know that's why they score quite a few late goals, Norwich, don't they?
Really? Yeah, generally. And I mean, it was a penalty. They did create a lot. It was sort of 15 minutes from the end, Norwich created all their real chances. That was, if you look at the old XG, that was when that's expected goals. Pete's rolling his eyes and tutting. That's where Norwich took a leap. That's where they really took charge of the game and created some real opportunities, which I think is how we kind of, that's how you saw the game as well, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I mean, the surprise for me was, as we saw from, was it Dunkley, there's not the quickest with that high line. He's throwing a few balls over the top here, Norwich could be in, but that never really seems to get exploited. So. But I know football's more complicated than that.
That's probably, it's a good shout, and probably also why they missed Anel Hernandez on Saturday, to a degree. But there we go. I mean, it was an 86-minute penalty. That's obviously a very fine line between this being a goalless draw, which was, this, you know, comparing it again, I mean, I do feel Norwich are doing everything a little bit better this year. You know, they didn't get smashed in August. They are winning games rather than drawing them this month, which they didn't do last month. You know, goalless draws at home to Burton, Bristol City. It was a last minute penalty, effectively, but you know, that's enough. That's enough. It's fine lines. And I guess a couple of the talking points around all that, but the one I'll mention here, this idea that Teemu Pukki was fouled, was going to take the penalty. He was top of the list according to Mario Francic, and then Mario helpfully asked him, do you feel comfortable? That's probably sowing a bit of a seed in that, well, I don't know if I do. Are we okay with Teemu handing over the penalty and Mario taking it?
I think that shows that he's not a natural striker, to be honest, because I think if Jordan Rhodes is in that situation, there's no chance that he'd be handing that over. I think it was a very responsible thing to do with Pukki, but I'm not sure I'm entirely comfortable with it.
I mean, which is probably
the right result.
Yeah, exactly. And it's probably similar to Alex Tetti not being at the dugout, looking in the stand, because all being well, he should really be on the edge of the box, you know, at least being one of the options for a follow up.
Yeah. given his sort of reaction to that, if it comes down to a penalty shootout in the cup, I don't want him taking it. Unless it's a really long run up. But didn't Farker say last season that the player who got fouled wouldn't take the penalty?
Oh,
sure he did. Probably. And that was just why I assumed why Mario was taking it, because
can you imagine the fallout if Rancic had missed that though? And all that work that Pukki's done would have been forgotten about. Like, people would say, well, why didn't he take the responsibility to take it?
You think he'd want to, given he's on a run of so many goals and so many games, but unless Mario was obviously maybe the designated penalty taker, but
he's a very good penalty taker. I think we saw that.
I do like one that just goes down there. You just wait for the keeper to move. You just casually stroke it down the middle. It was a good penalty.
I mean, Christian Walton had basically already gone way out of his goal by the time that he'd even taken the kick. But you know, fair play to Mario because that was high pressure. And I wrote it in my six things today. It did just kind of bizarrely remind me of when Robert Snodgrass took the ball off Ricky van Wolfswinkel, yeah. And then obviously they missed the penalty. And not only did that end in a defeat to Villa, but it also basically crippled Ricky van Wolfswinkel's career from that point on. And you know that Mario was spoke really well about it and how honest Teemu was, and just I like it. I like that honesty in the group. But to be honest, Mark, what you've just said isn't too far off my thinking either. So all's well that ends well when you put the ball in the back of the net, which is generally how these things work out. QPR and Wickham, and we haven't done a podcast since though, so just very briefly, Pete, I mean, QPR, I was there. I thought it was a good performance, a great win against an awkward side. Even though they sort of sat off Norwich so much, I thought it was a really good win against an informed team. And of course, Wickham was a bit nuts. But at least, you know, we get to go to Bournemouth now in the Cup. How exciting is that at the end of October?
Probably one of the worst draws, isn't it?
Since Cardiff.
But at least with Cardiff, you knew that their main priority is the league, so they were going to put a second string out. You'd feel with Bournemouth they might put a slightly stronger team out, and even their second string is going to be decent, even if they do. So I think
because they're a massively bankrolled club,
that might be where the cup run ends. But it would be nice to have had a home draw. So
I should know this. Who have Bournemouth got round those sort of games? Do you know?
Yes, I do know. They are away at Fulham. I think this is all off the top of my head. Away at Fulham on Saturday, the Saturday before. And then they're home to United at 12:30 the following Saturday. So they play on the same days as Norwich, which is kind of the 12:30 kickoff makes me think that maybe they'd like to play the game on a Tuesday, which for personal reasons would be easier for me.
Fulham will be a really big game for them. I mean, as much as good a start as they have, that Bournemouth's first priority is still going to be to avoid relegation, and they would have earmarked Fulham as being one a winnable game. United, probably also a winnable game at the moment.
Yes. Underdogs. Let's see who'll be in charge of them by that point, but there we go. Well, I mean, it's just remarkable Norwich are doing this run when, from the moment Grant Hanley got injured, you know, which was a huge blow, written as so, and I think everyone felt it so. And also, only one game after that, Anel Hernandez is out for it. With a hernia, and both of those players probably aren't going to be back for another week or two, hopefully the other side of the international break. So big misses, but everyone stepped up.
Yeah, I mean, Hanley, I know he's captain, and I'm sure he did a story about how many points better off we were with him in. He's going to struggle to get back in. I mean, Zimmerman's not really put a foot wrong at the moment. There's definite love in between him and Tim Close, so it's going well. Hernandez, I imagine he'll slot straight back in, won't he? His early season form. Cantwell, I would have thought. If you're going to chip inside your own area.
Which is against QPR. It's a tough one on top because I do think the youngsters had a really difficult afternoon of it on Saturday, him and Max Aaron. So the first time we've maybe really seen that. That's fine though, because they're young players, they're so inexperienced. It was Todd Cantwell's first league appearance at home, so that's how early we are in his play. And in fairness to Todd, even though it wasn't going very well, and even though he probably should have been sent off for two rash kicks in the first half within about 5 seconds of each other, he never hid. He always made himself available for the ball. I thought that was really promising, so that's a lot about his character. But yes, when O'Neill's fit, I would pop him back in.
Yeah, and I just wonder if the youngsters on Saturday, you've had a lot of games recently, haven't they? One or two looked a bit sort of heavy, didn't they?
This is part of it, isn't it? And you can't get too critical that you with these young players, you probably do need to take them out of the firing line every now and again. I think Norwich have got the squad to do that, particularly like you say, if O'Neill comes back. I mean, if Max Aaron's is, you've got Pinto to come back eventually, or you can put Marshall there, but I mean, that, he has got options. But you know, they've got the shirt at the moment, but don't be too surprised if they do come out. And it's nothing. It's not that they won't come back. Sometimes they just get by on adrenaline, these young players, and then you've got to just take them out and then put them back in again in a few games' time.
Okay, this is the section that apparently Dave Freezer, in my absence, said we're going to persevere with for the rest of the season. I mean, I took a bit of offence to that, to be honest. I think this is golden, but there we go. Maybe we'll extend it beyond into next season, Dave. Anyway, and I know you love these, Pete, so I'm going to come to you first. Our Duncan, big Duncan Forbes hero of the week. I suppose it is 2 weeks, but let's just call it two.
Over 2 weeks. I think Marco is just really impressed since playing in that sort of more forward position what we used to when he joined, so much so that I get a free bet every week and I put it on him to score, and the odds are going down even though he's not scoring. Yeah, so he came close on Saturday, but
born to score goals. And Mario Vrančić told me on Saturday that him and Marco were both in Borussia Dortmund's under 23s, and Marco was one of the great German striker talents. One of the biggest striker talents in Germany. I mean, he then switched to a winger, so I don't know what happened between the two.
Like, he's 72 to score any time then.
Born to score goals. Mark?
I find it all quite confusing with Stiepermann, really, because he's there's clearly a player there, and I think he's been messed around in what positions he plays. I don't know, not just at Norwich City, by the sounds of things, but hopefully they've stumbled upon a position where he can affect a championship. I mean, he looks like a proper decent championship midfielder from what I've seen, and you know, exactly the sort that you need in this division, getting forward, making thrusting runs and just having an impact
and breaking up play, which is something that has quite impressed me. I was speaking to my best mate the other night and he said Marco looks like someone they've pulled off a building site because he doesn't really look like a footballer and always seems a bit surprised about what's going on around him, but you know, as long as he's doing that and being effective, it's okay.
I think Rhodes as well, for that reaction from not playing to then come on at Wickham, start at Wickham, score a hat-trick, it's like very professional, isn't it? Very mature compared to others.
Too true. I'd probably nominate Alex Tetti, because it has struck me that since he had his worst game for the club against Preston, he's been immense.
And he's also playing every game. Yeah. He's not taking this break they used to because of his knee. Have they fixed his knee?
I remember, but he signed his two-year deal. The Norwich put a lot of faith in him, giving him a second year. Two-year deal, end of last season. Alex Tetti rocks up at a press conference ahead of the last game of the season. Him and Daniel Farker, both of them said, when I was speaking to them, well, obviously he's not going to play every game. And Alex said, of course I'm not going to play every game. It was literally like, okay, every other game, something like that. Ben Godfrey's back, they're going to share the load, but he's there. And not only that, he's playing a kind of different dynamic brand of holding midfielder. He's getting up and down the pitch a lot more. He's involved. He's almost a goal threat if he could get things on target.
I mean, is Leitner doing more of the running for him? I don't know. But we've always been told that because of his knee, he can never do Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. And yet he is.
Yeah.
I wonder if the situation's changed slightly. It sounds like they now see Godfrey more as a defender. There's an argument there. And perhaps when that press conference took place, they didn't see Louis Thompson coming back, who, you know, maybe they are getting a bit more out of Tetti now whilst Thompson gets back to fitness, and you will see Tetti dip out in a few weeks and Thompson come in. That might be how it works.
I mean, even if they'd have dropped Tetti for Tribal, no one would have complained. So
I do have issue with Tom being in Alex's role. I think if you play Tom, it needs to be I think he needs to do something slightly differently, because he just gets turned around too easily. But I like your point, Pete. He says Kevin Muscat, villain of the week.
Obvious one, isn't it?
Go on, then.
As a referee,
Mr. Gavin Ward. Mr.
Ward, and also his assistant, because I don't know if you boys saw it, but obviously it was right down my throat where I was. He looked at the lino for a long time as soon as it happened, because he obviously wasn't sure, and he's hoping for some assistance there and got none. I mean, it was blatant. You didn't even need a replay to see that was a penalty. So,
well, it's really weird.
And not only that, I mean, a lot of decisions were just, he was losing control all over the place. Like you say, Cantwell could have seen red. There was a few meaty challenges on Norwich players soon after that incident that just went unpunished. So he had no control. When you're noticing the referee that much, then it's not a great performance. And I think our penalty was soft. The one that was given, I think, was he thinking, I need to make up here, which he never should do anyway. So
I think he losing control of the game in the first half is exactly what happened, and it all became about him. And it was weird, because the first 5 minutes he blew up for everything, as if, right, I'm going to grab control of this game. Whenever there's any physical contact, I'm going to blow up for free kick. And then he just started letting everything go, and it was just such a mishmash. And you can see all the players just losing complete confidence in him, and that's when things get really difficult for you as a referee.
There's a couple of events, wasn't there? Blows to the head where it was then not free kick, but a drop ball.
If people go down, I'm just going to let it. It's just weird. It's like rules mode.
When there's a drop ball, the ref doesn't really know what he's doing. Exactly. We love him, but you shouldn't really see a drop ball in a championship game.
Well, the players actually, I saw that from Lee Evans. For the second drop ball, they were like, well, who's going to take it? And he went, no, I'll kick this one to you because you kicked the last one to us. I mean, that's literally the players officiating their own football match by that point.
Wins.
I mean, it was a bit difficult with the first penalty incident, as you said, Teemu Pukki being brought down by Shay Dunkley. In real time, I was like, well, how is that not a penalty? That's clearly a penalty. Not a red card, I'd say, because he made a genuine attempt to get the ball. You're only going to get sent off now if you do something that doesn't involve a possibility of getting the ball. So that's no issue, but a definite penalty. But then a few people who did see a replay seemed to suggest, oh, no, I've seen a replay. It wasn't a penalty. And I have to say, I saw a first replay of it, and I was like, and this was after the game, and I was like, well, that that's still a penalty. So then you're actually looking for a slow motion replay to convince you that it's not a penalty, by which point you're like, well, this is ridiculous, because then he clearly really should have given it. And then you see that and you're like, no, that's still definitely a penalty. So I don't really understand it. He was nowhere near getting the ball. He only clipped the player's ankle. That's, you know, pretty straightforward, really. And as you said, it did strike me after he gave the penalty late on that, and Paul Cook, Wigan boss, said it himself, you know, we were expecting in the second half the referee would give a penalty at the first possible opportunity, which is what he did, really, because it was a possible opportunity. You know, there was physical contact. Callum Connolly did have Tamu and pull him back, so it wasn't the brightest challenge.
Fair play to Steeperman as well, because Norwich would have known that as well. That's why he's running at pace in the box, and Wigan should know that we've really got to keep our noses clean here and not touch him at all, and they have. So,
but I mean, the standard refereeing this season has been fairly shoddy anyway. I mean, Norwich got away with it at QPR. Tim Closer pushing the player over towards the end of the game was blatant as anything. So, and if there was an assessor there on Saturday, what are they going to do? Punish him by sending him down to League One? It's just, nothing comes of it, does it?
So, well, I mean, in fairness, Gavin Ward was the referee when Norwich beat Preston, and he had a pretty good game. I don't really, really think of any moments that he got wrong. Which is, you know, sometimes the control issues are a bit different to just making blindingly obvious errors. So, you know, people have bad days. Yeah. We'll just see if he has another one. And our Simeon Jackson moment of the week. I've gone a bit left field, but Mark, have you got a moment of the week?
It's got a penalty in it from Frančić. I do like one where the keeper, like you say, just went about 2 weeks ago, and Frančić just stroked it down the middle like that.
Mario's pushing hard for a start. I think he's been excellent when he's come on the last few games.
I think the final scores board compared to the half time scores board was probably the most amusing bit, with Ipswich 2-0 up at half time and thinking, they're not going to win, are they? And they didn't.
There was a Twitter post, wasn't there, that was purporting to be from the Ipswich account saying, surely we're on our way to our first win of the season at half time. Now, I'm not convinced that's real, to be honest. I think someone might have fudged it.
Don't know, but still amazing.
It's definitely not there now.
Especially on an official account.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it was someone having a bit of fun. But, you know, I'm not going to complain about that. A similar theme, actually. My moment of the week, just away from Norwich, Brenna Woolley's BBC Suffolk commentary on the Birmingham equaliser, because, of course, Birmingham came from 2-0 down. I think I tweeted it. It was like a difficult second album, because he was chucking out the oh no's. Oh no! And then it was, when will they ever win? So it's not even gone from, it's gone from literally winning a game as opposed to just beating Norwich. It's now beating anyone. Quite remarkable how it is.
I think he's summing up exactly how Ipswich Town fans are feeling at the moment, though. I mean, goodness me, that is a poor old run, isn't it?
It is, and when, you know, your big hope in terms of Jonathan Walters does his Achilles, I mean, that there's a stench of that. Maybe they are going to get to do their little bounce back from League One that they've been hoping for the last couple of years.
Even having him as your big hope in the first place. No. Oh, well.
Mailback, discussions from you guys, tweets, emails. You can send it all, as I said at the top of the show, you can send it all to us through email, thepinkin@archant.co.uk, or all of our social media channels. We will be making a bigger thing of this over the coming weeks. You might have to forgive us that we haven't really kept track of it. But of course, didn't do one last week, so appreciate that. But in future, and think about this over the course of the games, if you're watching, by the time Stoke has come back, and if you have got your nominations for your gongs of the week, let us know, because that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it, Pete, given it's such a brilliant section?
Well, yeah, it'd be better than us doing it, wouldn't it?
So instead, let's move on to the week ahead. What is next? Well, it's Gary Rowett's past and present. It's his former club, Derby, who he left in the summer because they weren't going to have any money to spend. He, of course, went to Stoke, who have loads of money to spend, and that will be who Norwich play on Saturday. But Derby are now Frank Lampard's Derby. They've had a whole name change and everything, Pete. He's going to Chelsea as well, isn't he, in the League Cup? That's exciting. What a draw that is. But Derby, I was kind of expecting them to be above Norwich in the table. I know it's early days, but they're not. They're only, I think, a point off what Norwich's tally is. But, you know, they're a good side. They've got good players like Mason Mount, who Norwich would have loved to have loaned, but he seems to be really impressing. And I think it's going to be a thorough examination. You say that Norwich haven't come up against maybe as many very decent teams as we'd think. This is going to be one of them.
This, after this run, this is the proper test. If you go there and get a result, they think, oh, hang on a minute, because we've only really been Leeds, hasn't it, that have, and West Brom to a certain extent, that have given us a lesson. But this is going to be tough, even if Frank Lampard is now Derby County, apparently. So I mean, to go to Old Trafford and win, I know everyone's beating
Man
United. I know everyone's beating Man United at the moment, but yeah, that's still the result, isn't
on
it?
On penalties, and didn't they have 10 men United as well?
Don't know. I think they equalised in the last minute, didn't they, United? So.
Yeah, Fellaini did, yeah. I don't think it's a bad time to play Derby. I think that they're still getting to grips with what Lampard wants. He's brought in a lot of, lot of new players. I don't think it's a bad time to play them. I'd expect Norwich to go there and at least get a draw, to be honest.
It's really, it's an interesting one, because we all would like to get excited, don't we? And, you know, it's going well, so, you know, nothing is fearful at the moment. Meanwhile, you know, Frank Lampard is, what, 10 games into his managerial career, so maybe he doesn't even know what he wants yet.
That's it. I mean, Norwich are further down the Farker line than Derby are with Lampard's progression of the side, so I would expect to see Norwich control the game how they want to. That's been their thing, isn't it? Get out of the possession, and then everything else will follow.
And they did play really well down at Derby last year. They should have, I think it was a 1-1 draw in the end, but they the way they played in that second half, they really should have won the game. They've got a lot of good players. I mean, clearly they've rode completely back on, they were not going to spend any money because they've chucked a load at it again. But, you know, Tom Lawrence is there, isn't he? And as I said, Mason Mount's having a really good season. They've got some really decent players.
As well, the Liverpool lad, yeah.
He tore Norwich apart for Hull up at the KC last season. Stoke, a little bit different. They seem to be right all over the place. So, okay, what on earth do you make of them? I mean, it was such a topsy-turvy game against Rotherham. And I guess Norwich fans can empathise entirely with a promoter side coming down with all sorts of expectations over what the season's going to be like. And then you start playing and you're like, oh, God, we're struggling. And you always think it will come good because of all the players that are so good you've got to call on, but still.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Gary Rowett as a manager at the moment. He was linked with Norwich, wasn't he? Was it after Alex, or was it before Alex? Yeah. No, I can't remember. But anyway, there were quite a few fans who wanted him. I think it was while he was at Birmingham, wasn't it?
I think I might have been one of them, to be honest, because it was while he was at Birmingham, yeah.
Yeah, but I've not been impressed at the way he's gone about things at Stoke. It's been a bit scattergun so far, I think. They've thrown a lot of money at it. Got some really, really good players, but have they changed the squad enough from the failed one in the Premier League? I mean, Norwich know all about that. To go from that losing mentality where you lose most weeks to one where you're expected to win most weeks is a really difficult thing to do. They're not doing it at the moment.
No, it is like turning around a tanker, especially when you've been in the Premier League for as long as they have. I mean, if you're sort of up and down every couple of years, it's slightly different. I mean, they've been there for a good 10 years or whatever, haven't they? So, you know, that is pretty hard. And by all accounts, the state of the squad when they got down and issues at the club, there was a lot to sort out. So, you know, we're willing to give Norwich a couple of years. It's maybe understandable that Stoke could be struggling there. What do you make of that game? Because I'm still not... I know people said that the Middlesbrough atmosphere was good, but I actually thought it was flat for most of that. Yeah. I thought that the referee helped, as we've kind of said off mic, I think the referee helped the atmosphere on against Wigan. And I'm enjoying away games more than home games at the moment, because I just still don't feel that Carrow Road's on board yet. And I find that a bit of a shame now, because Norwich are, to me, doing what they were doing last season better. I'm going to be honest, I want more from the home crowd now.
The atmosphere, it's been flat all season, hasn't it? I haven't come away from a game thinking, yeah, that was white hot in terms of atmosphere. I know a lot of it is based on what you get in terms of away fans. And Wigan bought about 6. Like Leeds always bring thousands, but then the performance there didn't really warrant much. But then it's always that case of fans getting behind the players, or the players doing something on the pitch to get the fans going. I don't know, the best efforts of the lads in the lower Barkley, sort of just to the left of me, and getting things going. But it's just not everyone's in sync.
It'll be interesting what the tipping point is, because you know, I guess you know, some of the players maybe we'll just take it upon ourselves to look after ourselves here, and you know, hopefully they'll come with us. And it'll be interesting what, because I guess maybe because this happened last season, people are like, well, yeah, but we'll get to autumn and it'll all, you know, fall off a cliff again. So maybe if, I don't know, I guess if they do get a, you know, a draw, say, or better at Derby, which would be a good result, coming up against a Stoke side who have still got a lot of quality, I just want the place to be pumping. I'd really want it to, you know, let's feel some real momentum from the crowd. And, you know, I'm going to stick up for the fact that fans have all the right to be whatever they are. But by the same token, you get to a point where you feel like you can really contribute now rather than, or not detract, well, yeah, maybe detract rather than cause an issue, but just detract from what's happening. And I think we might get to that point soon where it's like, right, okay, Caro, the onus is on you now.
I just wonder whether it's the style of play sometimes as well. That, I mean, it is so patient that I'm not sure Norwich fans particularly like that still at the moment. And they've still got to be convinced by that. If they keep winning, they will be convinced by it. But like you say, I think there is that whole, you know, but we know what goes wrong around the corner. if Norwich can continually prove that they are winning with this brand of football, then I think the fans will get on board with it. But I still don't think they're there yet. And it's going to take probably another couple of months of decent results to get there.
Also, you notice that the gates, what was it, 25 and a half on Saturday, and it always used to be sold out. I'm guessing there's not a waiting list anymore for season tickets. You can get seats in the Barclay Low, which you never used to be able to, and people are slowly sort of drifting away, not to a huge extent. I mean, it still looks fairly full, doesn't it? And also, you think, like, a lot of fans that don't know what the running's on the back of the club, like yourself, someone like Madison, and then bring in what was brought in, it's going to annoy a lot of people. It's, I don't know, there is a sort of malaise there, isn't there, amongst the fans at the moment. And I can't explain it because I still go.
Yeah, well, let's be honest, 7 years it was high octane, it was up and down, it was brilliant. So there is probably going to be a residual decay from that, I guess is the best way of putting it. And that earning that back is going to take time. And I, you know, I think you have to all appreciate that. And so maybe that is something that will just take a little bit longer, and maybe more effort than it has to take. Likewise, I may be expecting too much, because it'll take more effort to get that back and going again than it would have done over the last 7 years because it was so up.
I think also it's, I guess last year so much change is that it felt like you were watching individuals rather than a team spirit that you had with, like, those years with Lampard, when you had like Holt, Wes, Russell Martin, the whole team just felt like a unit, and they're now starting to feel a bit more like that now. To me, last season it was just sort of individual players rather than, yeah, here's a proper group. But now it's starting to feel a bit more, and that's what fans want as well. So, and Timmy Krul is a bit of a cheerleader as well.
It's a bit of a David Nielsen.
He's a bit, he's a fist pumper, and he's an Angus Gunn in You Keep the Ball When We're Winning. He encouraged that to be thrown in the Barclay a couple of times with a smile on his face.
But as you said, Mike, if they keep winning, they won't mind them keeping the ball. If they keep getting ahead in games and then being patient, they won't mind. They won't mind that. So to point out, after Stoke, it's the second international break of the season. That came around quickly. And September Manager Player of the Month awards are coming up. Well, yeah, true, actually. No. Nominations are on their way. We'll have those at pinkin.com during the week. That's all I'm saying. And for Player and Manager in the Championship of the Month. Norwich's Player of the Month?
Tammy Pookie.
Definitely Pookie.
Yeah, even him or Steepy.
He's got to be in the Divisional Player of the Month runnings as well.
Can't possibly comment on that.
Even though he bottled the penalty.
Yeah, that's the way, Mark. That's the way. Knock them when they're down or up. Okay, so we'll plug, of course, that we will be all over Norwich City's games coming up. live coverage, pinken.com/live. It'll be Dave and Paddy at Derby on Wednesday night. I do truly wish I was there as well, but such is life. And Saturday, Norwich at Stoke, that will be myself and Dave with all the live coverage and reaction, analysis, build up, whatever you need, to live team news, pinken.com for everything in the world. And then by the time we get around to the middle of October, the Pinken Show will return as well, which will be lovely. Back down the pub. Are you going to come on the Pinken Show, Pete?
No.
Almost got a beep out of me there. Almost got a beep. Okay, what about Wesley? Wesley Hoolahound.
Dogs aren't allowed in pubs.
I'm sure we could swing it. We carry a lot of weight in that pub.
Yeah. Do it in the beer garden, yeah, maybe, but it's not the right time of year.
Well, bring Wesley. If Wesley and his social media manager or assistant could come down, that would be great.
Yeah, he can sit there and bark. Brilliant.
That's what most fans do when we have them on, so it's all good. Good old Nev. Actually, Nev's on soon, I think. Any other business? No, there's no other business. We've been going on long enough. Brilliant. Well, we're done. Thank you all for listening. It's very much appreciated. It's goodbye from Pete.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Mark.
Ta-da.
Thanks, Jens. Love it. Goodbye from me. Hello. Yep, goodbye. Remember, pinken.com, all the latest Norwich City news, analysis, opinion, and transfer insight I've written here. Not for a few months. We'll be with you every Monday. Apologies to last Monday. So make sure you get in touch and get involved. We'll get the mailbag running now, of course, over the coming weeks too. And remember, this is your podcast as much as it is ours. Enjoy the busy week ahead. We'll be right with you along the way on one platform or another. Until then, goodbye.